Hi, and welcome back to another episode of the Biographics Podcast. My name is Simon Whistler. This is a podcast version of a video that originally aired on our YouTube channel. You can find that by searching YouTube for Biographics. If you like this audio version of that video, please do consider leaving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. It helps. And let's get into today's podcast.
Even if you don't know her by name, you most likely have seen Frida Kahlo's paintings before. She is the Mexican woman with a bold unibrow, wearing a flower crown and brightly colored clothing. Kahlo was physically disabled her entire adult life, yet she loved herself enough to be her own muse. Years before her time, she challenged society's expectations and was able to create surrealist works of art that examined the inner workings of the human soul. On today's Biographics, we're going to tell you the story of the great artist Frida Kahlo. Magdalena Carmen Frida Kahlo y Calderón was born on July 6, 1907, in Coyoacán, Mexico. Her family lived in a blue house, appropriately named La Casa Azul. Her father was a German photographer, and her mother was Spanish and a Native American. Frida's father used her as a model in his photography studio, and it was during this time that she learned how to be photogenic. Even from an early age, she had an incredibly intense gaze into the camera lens. By the time she was 17, she was fed up with wearing all of the frilly dresses that her father put her in, and she chose to pose in a man suit during one of their family photos, which was, of course, completely frowned upon in the 1920s. As a child, she suffered from polio, and one leg was permanently shorter than the other. But she never let that stop her from being adventurous. She climbed trees, she danced, and she played outside with her friends. In 1922, she began attending the National Preparatory School in Mexico City with the intention of becoming a doctor. But when she was 18 years old, she was on a bus heading to school when it collided with a tram car. During the crash, a metal handrail impaled her body, going straight through her torso to the point where the rod was sticking out the other end. She had also fractured her spine in multiple places, as well as got a broken pelvis, hips, collarbone, both of her legs, and a few ribs. She had lost so much blood that the doctors didn't think she would make it. By no small miracle, Frida Kahlo miraculously survived the tram accident. Frida lay in a hospital bed while her entire body healed. The doctor told her that because of where the metal rod had impaled her, it was unlikely that she would ever be able to get pregnant. Even after several operations, she was now disabled, and the injuries would cause her to paint for the rest of her life. Her boyfriend, Alejandro Gomez Arias, had been on the bus as well, but he survived the crash with only minor injuries. When she wrote letters to him, she often asked questions like, "What will my life be like 30 years from now?" And she knew that the rest of her existence would be an uphill battle. As you can imagine, her entire body had been put into casts, and she was told not to leave her hospital bed for several months. During this time when she was bedridden, her father helped her set up a specially made easel to hang over her bed so that she could spend her days painting. Since she could not go outside, everything Frida painted was from her memory. She was painting her own surrealist versions of reality, along with symbols of Mexican religion and culture. Frida also painted and sketched herself in order to express her pain through her drawings. There is no doubt that even though her body had been weakened, her mind was still incredibly strong, and that helped keep her going. Frida once wrote, "Feet, what do I need you for when I have wings to fly?" As time went on, she chose to no longer groom herself the way women were expected to. She was trying to heal from the accident, and there was no time to tweeze her eyebrows or shave her upper lip. When she painted self-portraits in a velvet dress, she kept all of those details true to real life, even though she could have easily painted out what society deemed as imperfections. This level of honesty was incredibly brave, even by today's standards, when you think about how many selfies are taken with Snapchat filters and Facetune. At this point, Frida Kahlo was just happy to be alive, and she began to embrace the body that she was born with. Once she left the hospital, Frida returned to school, but she was now in a wheelchair. While her friends were still spending time with her, they wanted to continue living their young and vibrant lives, and they just drifted in different directions. She and Alejandro Gomez Arias, they broke up, and she decided to focus on the life that she could cultivate, which was her mind and her art. She also joined her university's chapter of the Mexican Communist Party, and it would set her on a course that would change the rest of her life. In order to understand the full story of Frida Kahlo's epic love, we need to go back to when she was 15 years old. A famous artist named Diego Rivera was painting a mural at the Simon Bolivar Amphitheater in the National Preparatory School. Frida would sneak in to watch him. She was fascinated by his work, and he completely inspired her to become a great artist. Like most teenagers with a crush, she swooned to her best friend about how great he was and said that one day she would marry him and have his babies. But then, when he left the painting to take a break, she put soap all over his ladder and teased him when he slipped and fell. This was enough for him to notice her, but not enough for him to reciprocate her feelings, of course. After all, he was 35 at the time, and from his perspective, this was just a kid who was trying to distract him. But he couldn't help notice that she had an unusual dignity and self-assurance, and there was a strange fire in her eyes. So let's fast forward to 1928. Frida was 21 years old, and it had been 3 years since her accident. Through an intense amount of physical therapy, she finally had learned to walk again, but it was still necessary for her to wear back braces and corsets that were made of plaster in order to keep her spine straight. Still, though, sometimes the pain was just too much to bear, and she would have to use a wheelchair. She was all grown up now, and in the 6 years since she had last saw Rivera, she had become a beautiful young woman. Even though it had been years, she would still visit his famous murals around the city and followed the progress of his artistic career. She heard that he was painting another mural at Mexico City's Ministry of Education, so she began showing up every day. This time, she sat quietly and respectfully, watching and studying him as he painted. One day, Frida Kahlo bravely approached Diego Rivera and told him that she had admired his talent for years. She explained that she was an aspiring artist and wanted to know his opinion of her work. At first, he did not recognize her, but once she explained the story of the soap on the ladder, he instantly made the connection because she still had that same fire in her eyes. Frida invited him over to La Casa Azul, where he could see all of her work in her studio. After seeing Frida's art, he told her, "In my opinion, no matter how difficult it might be for you, you must continue to paint." While he was in her home, he could see how much joy and passion she had for painting, and it rejuvenated his love for his own work. He said, "I did not know it then, but Frida had already become the most important fact of my life." They began to spend more time together and went on several dates. A few days later, he kissed her for the first time. It was just the beginning of a relationship that would last for the rest of her life. Diego Rivera and Frida Kahlo were married in 1929, and they continued to be one another's muses. Their relationship inspired one another to keep creating more and more amazing works. In one of her letters to him, she wrote, "Diego, I'd like to paint you, but there are no colors, because there are so many, in my confusion, the tangible form of my great love." Frida and Diego were both part of a group of artists and intellectuals who would later be labeled as part of the Mexicanidad movement, which was a reinvigorated sense of national pride. Instead of trying to copy European artists, they wanted to create a new art style that identified Mexican culture. Aside from their mutual love of art, Frida and Diego discussed politics at great length. Diego was so well known that he became a political activist in the Mexican Communist Party and was often painting Soviet symbolism into his works of art. Diego Rivera was already wealthy from the sales of his art, and as the years went on, the rest of the world was beginning to respect and appreciate his Mexicanidad style as well. He was invited to paint several murals across the United States. At the time, no one was paying much attention to Frida Kahlo's work because she was just the wife of this far more famous artist. In 1931, they were living in New York City, and she was miserable with the vibe of the town. In a letter to her friend, she wrote, "I'm not painting or doing anything. I just like the high society here and feel a little rage against all these fat cats, since I've seen thousands of people in terrible misery." For years, Rivera was slipping communist iconography into his murals across the United States, but they mostly went unnoticed. In 1933, Rivera painted a mural that was meant to go in the lobby of the Rockefeller Center called Man at the Crossroads, but he clearly included the image of Lenin. Once they spotted this, the officials demanded that he remove all communist imagery, but he refused to do so, and the painting remained unfinished. After spending several years traveling, Diego had an architect build them two separate houses that were side by side and connected by a bridge so that they could live together and still have each of their own private art studios. Eventually, the couple returned to Frida's childhood home, the Casa Azul, which she inherited from her parents. In 1937, they met the communist revolutionary Leon Trotsky, who was living in exile. Since they were already huge supporters of the USSR, they invited him to live with them in La Casa Azul. For years, there was an ongoing rumor that Frida Kahlo and Leon Trotsky were having an affair. She even gave him one of her self-portraits with a note that said, "To Leon Trotsky, with all my love, I dedicate this painting." The rumor about their affair, it was published over and over again so many times that it was eventually taken as historic fact. It was even included in the plot of the 2002 movie Frida, starring Salma Hayek. However, it was later discovered that the affair may have never actually taken place. In his last will and testament, Diego Rivera strictly forbid any of his personal paperwork to be released to the public until 50 years after his death. He ordered that all of their private letters and documents should be hidden inside of their bathroom wall at La Casa Azul. So, when they were unveiled in 2007, the public finally got to read the letters between Carlo and Trotsky. While it's true that they frequently wrote to one another and spent a great deal of time together in their home, these hidden letters reveal that the correspondence between Carlo and Trotsky, it was strictly platonic. In fact, Frida Kahlo spent most of her letters supporting her husband, trying to convince Trotsky that he deserved to have a more prominent role in the Communist Party. She even called Trotsky out on his behavior as being egotistical and revealed that she did not like him at all. She once wrote, "I observed that whenever there was a discussion of any kind and Diego gave his opinion, you always took it with a certain irony and doubtfulness of its truthfulness. This kind of irony in time gets on one's nerves." Throughout her life, Frida had to undergo a total of 30 operations. One of her most famous paintings, The Broken Column, depicts how she truly felt inside. She was constantly in and out of the hospital, and she became very good friends with her doctor. There were a series of letters that revealed that she became pregnant with Diego Rivera's child. This came as a shock to her, as she'd been told that she would never be able to have children. However, the doctor urged her to get an abortion because he explained that her body would not be able to take the pregnancy to full term. However, the guilt of the abortion, it was overwhelming. When she got pregnant a second time in 1932, she tried to keep the baby, even if it meant breaking bones and sacrificing her own body. But the scarring in her uterus was too extensive to bring the pregnancy to term, and Frida suffered a miscarriage. On one of her body corsets, Frida painted the communist symbol over her heart and an image of a fetus over her belly to symbolize the two unborn children that she had lost. She wore it like a medal of honor underneath her clothes. Since she was disabled and in near constant pain, Frida could not fully satisfy Diego Rivera's libido. He was also a celebrity, so there was no shortage of female attention. Frida was fully aware of his infidelity, but she had also become totally dependent on his care and addicted to his love and affection. Instead of divorcing him, she took the opportunity to have an affair with the photographer Nicholas Murray, and she also experimented with her sexuality by having affairs with several women. She became good friends with the actress Josephine Baker and the artist Georgia O'Keeffe. The latter was famous for making paintings of flowers that actually look, well, you know what they look like. Frida and Diego would often throw parties at their home, and the famous Mexican musician Javela Vargas was invited to one of them. After seeing Frida for the first time, Vargas said, "She was like a vision. When I saw her face, her eyes, I thought she was from another world." The two became very close and had an affair that lasted much longer than the other flings that she'd had with women. During an interview, Javela Vargas explained that she truly did love Frida Kahlo and she drew all of her artistic inspiration from her. Frida's favorite song was called La Llorona, which is based on the terrifying Mexican legend of the weeping woman. However, Frida Kahlo was still in love with Diego and she was never going to leave her husband for another woman. This relationship of unrequited love was breaking young Vargas' heart. She wrote the song Paloma Negra, or Black Dove. In it, you can clearly hear the anguish in her voice. Even though she claimed to be fine with their mutual unfaithfulness, Diego Rivera crossed the line when he slept with her sister. This led to a divorce in 1940. 1 month later, she cut off all of her hair and painted a self-portrait dressed in one of Diego's suits. At the top of the painting, she included a bar of musical notes and the lyrics of a famous Mexican folk song about falling out of love. Unfortunately, though, love is an incredibly complex emotion, and it doesn't just turn off overnight. She expressed her inner turmoil with a double self-portrait called The Two Fridas, showing her past self on the left, where she was wearing a white dress, symbolizing her past purity and innocence. The young Frida had her heart ripped out of her chest, and she gave it to the Frida on the right, who was older and much stronger. But she still held onto the memory of Diego by holding his portrait in her hands. Even though she was clearly in a toxic relationship, Frida and Diego felt that they could not live without one another, and they got remarried less than a year after their divorce. There is a saying that great art comes from pain, and in a way, this betrayal actually helped to further along her solo career. In 1947, the Two Fridas painting was purchased by the National Institute of Fine Art in Mexico City for 4,000 pesos, which is roughly $1,000. After modern-day inflation, that's closer to $11,399. Seems that finally the art world was beginning to recognize her talent, and she was no longer just the wife of Diego Rivera. In 1953, Frida Kahlo finally had her very first art exhibit, but her health was declining. She was so physically weak and in pain that her doctor advised her to stay in bed. Even when she was sick, her soul was still strong enough to demand that she must go to her art show. That night, the patrons of the arts received the grandest entrance they had ever seen, as Frida Kahlo's four-poster bed was carried in on a stretcher by a group of men. She was all done up in a beautiful dress, as well as makeup and a crown of flowers lay on her head. Sadly, though, her illness got worse, and that same year she contracted gangrene in one of her legs and it had to be amputated. Even so, she tried to stay strong and decorated her prosthetic leg to make it beautiful, but she was already in constant pain from her earlier injuries. Losing her leg made it even more unbearable. She learned how to walk again and even tried to go dancing in her new leg. Her doctor prescribed her pain medication to help dull her senses, but it was still a life of near constant misery. On July 7, 1954, she turned 47 years old. Her friends and family, they threw her a birthday celebration. There were over 100 people there. For the first time in months, she dressed in her finest clothes, put on makeup, and donned the flowers in her hair again. But once the party was over and the guests went home, she was left alone to face her reality. Perhaps she knew that from then on, things were only going to get worse. Her health was declining, and she struggled to accomplish even the smallest daily task. Just a few days after her party, on July the 12th, Kahlo was lying in her childhood bedroom in Casa Azul. She sketched an image of an angel with black wings. In her journal, she wrote, "I hope the exit is joyful, and I hope to never come back. Frida." The next morning, on July the 13th, Diego found her. She died of a pulmonary embolism. Most speculate this was caused by overdosing on her pain medication and that she chose to commit suicide. Her family visited the home and helped prepare the body before it was taken to the Palace of Fine Art for a public viewing and funeral. Diego Rivera was in such shock he refused to believe that she was truly dead. He got into an argument with her doctor, refusing to bury her until he had substantial proof that she was truly gone. Afterwards, they draped her coffin in a black cloth with red flowers. Diego insisted on draping the communist symbol over her coffin as well. Over the course of her lifetime, Frida Kahlo created a total of 143 paintings, and 55 of them were self-portraits. She became the first Latin American woman to have one of her paintings displayed in the Louvre Museum in Paris. She has become such a well-known artist that people simply refer to her as Frida. Even though she is gone, she is anything but forgotten. Today, her work has become more relevant than ever. Her works and personal letters are considered to be so valuable that they sell for millions of dollars at auction. And in recent years, there has been a strong resurgence of appreciation for Frida Kahlo, and she truly cemented herself in history as a true Mexican icon.
Really hope you enjoyed that one. If you did, you know what to do. Go over to iTunes, leave us a review, wherever you get your podcasts. That might not be iTunes, that can be Stitcher or, there's so many. It really helps out. It gets this in front of more people. I'd appreciate it. And as always, thanks for listening.